Good morning, Chairperson.
I'm sure we can be able to start just to check who's in and be able to look at the program.
We can so proceed, Chair. I'll call. Good morning to all members. I'll call the names of the members. Mrs. Hermans.
Honourable Hermans.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning to everyone on the platform.
Morning. Welcome.
Chair, Ms. Mwatse, Chair.
Honourable Mwatse.
Recording in progress.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, colleagues.
Welcome, Mwatse. Honourable
Mr. Mboyan.
Good morning. Good morning to your colleagues. I'm available. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mbuyane.
Chair, we have Mr. Ngamashe, Chair.
Honourable Ngamashe.
Chair, for the record, it's a double barrel surname, Ben Ngamashe. Moholo Salo, Namalunga Committee.
I'm sure I can see you are a gun shooter. When you say double barrel, which means somebody will have something serious. Double barrel. Thank you very much. Welcome, Ben Ngamashe.
Chair, Ms. Mutahum, Chair.
Honorable Mutahum.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues.
Welcome, morning.
Chair, Ms. Yaku, Chair.
Honorable Yaku.
Morning, Chair. Morning, everybody.
Thanks a million. Welcome.
Chair, Mr. Custis, Chair.
Honorable Custis.
Good morning, Chairperson.
Welcome, and good morning.
Chair, those are the members currently on the platform. I would assume other members will join or have submitted an apology. I have not seen any apologies yet, Chair. They may be still joining us, but we do correct and we can with the business of the day, Chair.
Yes. Obviously, I think let's actually then proceed to look at the program for today's meeting.
Mr. McPherson and Ms. Mulder just joined the committee as well, Chair.
Oh, okay. Honorable Mulder and Honorable McPherson, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair. Apologies for being a bit late. We've got connection problems after a thunderstorm in Gauteng.
Yes, thank you. Well, I should be...
Yes, sorry. Chair. I was a bit late. I was just trying to deal with, cadres in court who don't want to form municipalities in KZN despite us winning. So just having to deal with that.
Oh, okay. As I thought I was the one who could explain cadres. So I can see you actually migrating quite quickly, Honorable McPherson. Welcome. Good
no,
morning.
Definitely not. Luckily we have the court to instruct them.
I can see, that's why. Congratulations. Can we then actually pick up on the agenda? If I can fly into the Secretariat.
Chair, we have the agenda. We continue with the deliberations on the remitted bills, Chair, in relation to the matters that seek House permission and matters that may need to require to be advertised. And then the committee will formally consider the budget review and recommendation to report, Chair.
Honourable members, I'm sure the agenda is open and straightforward. It's on the deliberation of the remitted bills and the other items which you've got. You moved it quickly. Okay. So let's actually then check if our members are comfortable that we proceed as the program is presented before them. Can we proceed?
Mr. Hermans, Chair, raise the hand.
Honourable Hermans.
And Mr.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of the agenda as tabled.
Thank you very much. Honorable Moyani.
Chairperson, I second the move for the adoption of the agenda. Thank you very much.
Can I just check if ever there's any objection? No, in the absence, then I think we can proceed with the program, Secretariat, in terms of today's meeting. I'm sure someone is ready to take us through.
No, yes, Chair. Chair, the discussion will be led by Advocate Van der Merwe, and we forwarded that document to all members, and she will take the members through the document, focusing firstly on the matters that seek our submission, and permit for the committee to conclude on that and adopt the report in that regard. And thereafter, the committee will look at other matters relating to some matters that may require to be advertised. So Advocate Van der Merwe, with support from the GTIC, will take the committee through that again. Thanks, Chair.
Let's welcome Advocate Main Van der Merwe, and actually then invite her to be able to actually take us through. I'm sure you're feeling Advocate almost part of the team, and in terms of the previous occasion that you've been with us, but we think it will be quite important that we continue taking us through the document as proposed. Advocate.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to you and good morning to the members. If I may just Andre gave me permission. I'm going to just share the correct document. There we go. Yes, and it is green on my screen, so I'm sure that you can see it. This is the document that we prepared for members to discuss in their caucuses. And the first couple of amendments that we will focus on are those that require health permission. Those are, because of just procedural requirements, the ones that we need to deal with first. Then once we've dealt with those, we need to deal with those that require advertising. So, if I can just stress something to the members. At the moment, we're just discussing the principle of whether this is something that is acceptable. The wording is not yet in there, and in fact, the wording might make people change how they view the specific definition. So, I think it is something just to keep in mind that whatever the committee decides today relates to asking health permission. And if the committee, once getting that permission, then discusses the definition or discusses the amendment and decides to not go ahead with it, that is also in order. Just to make it clear to members that we're not putting ourselves into a corner. This is just a procedural matter. If we do think that we need these amendments, we will need health permission. It's not, however, a done deal that it will happen in the bill. So the first, there's only two actually. The one relates to definitions, new definitions, and the other relates to extending the rights that we're creating for certain works in the bill, extending those also to computer programs and to published editions. So if I may start on the definitions, the first new definition is for authorized entity. This relates to people, persons with disabilities. So where there are in section 19D, which deals with persons with disabilities, there are persons or we say people who service people with disability, and the proposal is to add a word there, namely authorized entity. That will then also be able to deliver certain services to persons with disability. So the idea is to enable the minister to prescribe, because we are talking about an entity that will be authorized, so we'll have to think about how that can happen. If we do something about regulation, saying that the minister will prescribe who these entities are or how they will be authorized, we don't need to ask health permission for that. We are already amending the regulations clause, so that is why that is not currently an issue. But it is something that will be have to be considered around authorized entity. But the concept is just that there should be a specific group of entities that can then provide these services, and we want them defined. So if that concept is acceptable, then this is the first definition that we will ask the House permission to bring in. The second definition is that of broadcast. Now, I think if I listened to discussions last week, and if I also consider things, you know, looking up what we are dealing with, there's a lot of uncertainty about the actual wording of the definition for broadcast. But the principle that we're asking the committee to think about here is that the definition for broadcast is in fact amended in the Performers Protection Amendment Bill. So that means that the Performers Protection Amendment Bill and the Copyright Act currently have two different definitions. So once the Copyright Amendment Bill and the Performers Protection Amendment Bill have been passed by both houses and assented to and brought into operation, we will have a Performers Protection Act with one definition and a Copyright Act with another definition. So that is the concern at the moment. So what we are asking permission from the House for is to amend the definition of broadcast in the Copyright Act. Now, specifically, I know that the issue of wire and whether that should be removed or not is still an issue, and we will have to look at that. But we don't need to make that decision today. The concept that we need to consider today is whether the two acts, Performance Protection and Copyright, should have the same definition for broadcast. And if we say yes, then we need to ask permission to amend the definition in Copyright Act of broadcast, because we haven't done so in the current bill. So that's an additional thing extending the scope, and that is what we will have to ask House permission for. The third definition that we'll have to ask for is lawfully acquired. Again, I know that there is some concern about the wording. We do not have to finalize that wording today if we ask his House permission. The permission will simply be to bring in a definition for a phrase, lawfully acquired. And if the committee, after all the deliberations and looking at a specific clause that deals with personal copies, decide not to do this definition, that will be in order as well. But if we decide we want one in the end, we are going to have had House permission to do so. So at this point in time, the concept that the committee needs to consider is, do we think that there might be a need for this definition? And if we think there might be a need for it, maybe not in the wording that we have in this document, maybe in a different wording. But if we think we need that, then we need to ask House permission to bring this definition into the bill. Then, so these are the three definitions. So that's the one concept. The second concept that we need House permission for is a whole new clause. This clause will amend sections 11A and 11B of the Copyright Act. And the reason why we need House permission is because the current Copyright Amendment Bill is not touching these two sections, 11A and 11B. 11A deals with published editions, and 11B deals with computer programs. So what the concern was that we are giving, or not we, the Copyright Amendment Bill is giving new exclusive rights, specifically of communication to the public, making available and distribution to literary works, musical works, artistic works, cinematographic films, sound recordings, but not to published editions and to computer programs, and that's an oversight. It should be there. Because there is an opportunity now to do it, the question before the committee then is, and again, we can still look at the wording, although I think this amendment is probably a little bit less contentious, because we will look at the wording of section 6, 7, 8, and 9, and probably worded very similar, so if your rights to the different works are the same. But the concept before the committee is, do we want to also extend these rights to published editions and to computer programs? And it does seem to have been an oversight. So, members, these are the two main things, additional definitions and extending these rights to work that seems to have been overlooked in the Copyright Amendment Bill. So I'll first stop there, because these are the only matters that relate to asking House permission, so that, that we sort of we can first look at that. Thank you very much.
I wanted just to check that when you stop, it's just for questions for clarities or maybe for a decision. I'm not sure if ever we actually can be able to agree on that and how big is the volume in terms of the amount of work we need to look at now going through the document, the report you're giving to us. Just to check for clarity. But I think that will be very helpful, Advocate.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I may maybe ask the committee secretary to also guide the committee here. As I understood from what he said before, is that the committee will first look at these matters that require House permission, because there's a report that has to be done, and that the committee will look at that and complete that. So I don't know if he can maybe also speak to that, but of course I am in the hands of the committee. If you want me to do everything I can, it is just that the report is to some extent a priority. But if I can maybe ask the committee secretary just to take the committee through that again, and then we will both be guided by the committee. Thank you.
Chairperson, with your permission, Chair?
Yes, that's correct.
Chair, at the last meeting, we have agreed that the matters that Advocate van der Merwe just presented on will be taken by parties to the respective caucuses for discussion and input, and on Friday, parties will hopefully come up with a position on the matter. So what we've proposed is that Advocate van der Merwe take the members through that issues again. If members want to ask questions of clarity, they are welcome to do so, but it's to conclude the matter and then adopt the report that will seek permission from the House to do what she has explained to do. So what we're proposing is for members to ask points of clarity, and after that we get a position, and thereafter we will then flag the report that we want the committee to consider and adopt, and so that we can proceed to the next item, Chair. Thanks.
Okay. No, thank you. That clarifies. Maybe we can then go back to a committee. If there are any comments on the presentation given by the advocate, honourable members, are there any comments, questions, or additions?
Chair, we have Mr. Mbuyani, Chair.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, for the opportunity. Chairperson, I was thinking maybe we'll give Advocate Madam Nev an opportunity to present, so that after that we'll be able to adopt the report moving forward. But if we go line or paragraph by paragraph, I think it will also delay the process moving forward, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Secretariat and the advocate, it looks like they say the members think we should actually take the whole report and then go and decide on how we process. I'm actually wanting to actually check if our members have got any comment. Boyane noted what you're saying. Honourable members, can I just take your further comments? If ever you have the same approach on the report on how we manage and process it, that we allow the advocate to continue, then we actually confirm if ever there are changes on the direction of issues before us.
Okay, Mrs. Hummels, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Chair. No, I agree with what the advocate has proposed. I just want to clarify, in terms of the removal of wire and replacing with wireless, we're asking permission from from Parliament for that change to be effected, but we will take a decision whether or not we are going to replace the word with wireless. I just want that clarity. Otherwise, I agree that we process it as she has proposed.
Okay, Advocate. Maybe this is a direct question of why and less and why. Maybe then we can go back. We will then secretariat after the advocate's comment. Go back to process on how we actually then will be going through the report presented by the advocate. Advocate to Hammonds, who said just on the wireless issue.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, the permission that we're seeking from the House now is to amend the definition of broadcast in the Copyright Amendment Bill. In the Copyright Act. So that is the permission. We're not asking permission for specific wording as yet. So even if we keep wire, we will still have to amend the definition in the Copyright Act because it is very different from what the Performance Protection Amendment Bill even is at the moment, regardless of wire or not keeping wire. So yes, definitely. The permission currently is simply to amend it, not in respect of the specific wording. Thank you.
Okay.
Should I then take the members through the whole document? Or are we first discussing these two matters?
Yeah, we can actually discuss the first two matters. And I think, obviously, when we give time for consideration, it means we're actually giving an opportunity for a direction to a large extent as a committee to say the committee thinks this should happen. And maybe on those first few issues, it will be easier, Advocate, to actually decide what we think would be acceptable or would be actually in line with what the members think is in order. So maybe it's a point of trying to get to this. Secretary?
Mr. McPherson raised his hand, Chair.
Honourable McPherson?
Thanks so much. It might not be something that members have gone through before, so I understand it may be a bit of a new thing. But, you know, I always think, and this is the position that we took as a party, that when it comes to these sorts of things, you know, we don't necessarily need to have a position on it now because, you know, we need to give, obviously, the public an opportunity to either agree or disagree whether that is in fact the correct way to change it or to better it, which will obviously come through then in public submissions, hearings, and so on. So, you know, we, Chair, really want to sort of allow the process to continue to essentially hear from the public, from experts, so on and so forth, that they can use that process to further guide whether it is the correct or incorrect approach to take. So I just want to just say, you know, I don't know how you sort of view it going forward, but I think that it's better to rather view it in total as an entire process as opposed to sort of on one by one. We either agree that, you know, we want to hear from everyone on whether this is the correct or incorrect approach. You know, or if you start trying to get into the minutiae of it, you may get a little bit bogged down in it. So that might just be an alternative view for you to consider.
Okay. Let's actually then get members' parties. If ever we can actually get the approach to get the advocate to go through, have an agreement, and then move on to the next part, because this one is more like we did take it away to consider. Let's see if ever we are in agreement. Advocates go right through. If we are comfortable therefore, it's more on process, but it's actually about the decisions and the issues in terms of what's our mandate, how we are mandated as parties.
I think we are on the same principle too, that we carry on and then yeah, the end thing we see what you do. With Honourable McPherson on this one.
Okay. Let's hear other members. If we can actually then proceed in that way, that we go right through and then we actually adopt. It links to the earlier point of parties.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed to? Okay. Let's actually, advocate, I'm not sure if it actually assists. I'm sure it does, on how we manage the process moving forward, having had an opportunity for parties to consider. Advocate?
Okay, I think then what I'll do is I will take members through again, I'm going to then start from the top. So it will be the three types will be interchanged. So I will just highlight where we will not need health admission, where we will not need to advertise, where we will need to advertise. So the First Amendment on this document in respect of all the proposed amendments is to make a change to the current definition of accessible format copy, just to align it to the Marrakesh Treaty. And it's a very small amendment. It's just to add the wording including to, rather than say as. So it just broadens it a little bit. And then we will look at some other additions, perhaps to 19D, to also just make provision for some things that you can and can't do with this accessible format copy in respect of persons with a disability. Now, we do not need to advertise this. We do not need health permission to change this definition. So that is just the one thing. Again, like I was saying, the wording is not something that we should focus on at the moment. It is more the principle. There's still a lot of work to be done in respect of wording. So on the definition itself, it seems to be a very small change, just to change and to including to, and then we will look at some other wording in respect of keeping the integrity of the original work, having it used exclusively by persons with a disability, and this we will have to add to 19D. So I'll speak to that when I get to 19D. Then the next one is in respect of technological protection measure and technological protection measure circumvention device. This one we do not need health permission. The copyright amendment bill already makes provision for this definition, so we can just consider the input from the submission. There was something, comments about adding services, adding products to the specific circumvention device definition. There was also some concerns raised in respect of whether the definition of technological protection measure is not actually almost circular in the sense that it nullifies itself. So proposing certain changes to it was in order to try and get that nullifying effect gone. But when we look at the specific wording, I will also point out to members where we might be causing some difficulties in respect of how this will work in practice. But the concept is to look at technological protection measure. From what we have seen so far, looking at this as a team, we have found that this is currently very topical globally. Whether technological protection measures are almost becoming something to them over and above copyright. And how do we keep the balance? Because remember, that is the one thing that this bill is trying to achieve, is to balance that the copyright on the one side versus rights to equality, education, etc. on the other side. So it is something that the public sector needs to look at. And when we look at wording, I think there will definitely be a lot more discussion around technological protection measures definition and that of the circumvention device. So, but at this point in time, doesn't have to have health permission, And if we add to something like services and products, and also depending on the way we change the wording and what the change impact has in practice, we will have to advertise this, the amendments to this definition. The next item that we can look at, I've already spoken to the new definition, so I will not go through them again. I've also spoken to 11A already, so I will not go through that again. The next proposed amendment is to delete duplication. Now, this we don't need health permission for, we don't need to advertise it. It is simply removing duplication. So what happened was that Section 12A, the fair use clause, specifically listed a couple of matters. And it was then pointed out that if you look at the wording of the item in the list, you will find that it is also something that features in a later section where there's a specific provision made for it. For instance, education seems to overlap research, private study, personal use in 12A, paragraph A1. So these are the items that we've identified as duplication. The one, like I just said, relating to research, private study, and personal use. Other is in respect of scholarship, teaching, and education. So these two are both covered in Section 12D, and to some extent also in 12B1, paragraph I, and 12B, subsection 2. This is in respect of personal use specifically, that's covered in 12B. The rest on education is covered in 12D already. Then libraries, archives, and museums, which is in 12A, fully covered in Section 19C. Then if we look at 12B, subsection 1, paragraph B, deals with education, so it can be moved to 12D, so that it's in the same section rather than in more than one. And then in 12B1, paragraph E, subparagraph 1, this is provided for in 12A already, deals with current events. Then if we now do decide to delete these matters and move them to the correct exception so that they can be read together, and you don't find more than one place speaking about the same type of exception, there's just the aspect of using something at a different time or a different device that we have in 12A that is not repeated in 12B and 12D. So it's just a consequential amendment to make that change. So, but like I said, duplication, it's really just a technical amendment. No need to ask health permission, no need to advertise. We can simply do this. It sounds maybe sounded a bit harsh to say we can simply do this. Based on the input from the public, we can simply make the amendments without having to go back to the public about it. The same in respect of the moral rights of the author. Again, based on wording from or on public input, they were saying that the current Act in 12.4 talks about that the source shall be mentioned as well as the name if it appears on the work. And that this is a much better way of saying it than you must mention the name and the source as far as is practicable. Because practicable seems to be something that is vague and that might have more than one interpretation between more than one person. So the proposal is to simply change as far as is practicable with the current wording of the Act as it appears in Section 12, Subsection 4. And again, it is based on inputs from the public. It will align the bill with the Act, so it is definitely something that can be done and will probably add to the quality of the bill. So it is not something that we need to ask health permission for. It is not new, and we do not have to advertise it. It is not changing the content of the bill. It's not bringing anything new in. It is simply aligning it with the wording of the Act. The next one is to
Advocate, your presentation and the points you're raising are not going concurrently. I'm just saying your presentation and what we read on the screen. I'm not sure if it's I'm the only one that is not seeing it moving. That the presentation you're actually making. Yeah, because it's stuck on the same
point. It disappeared. I apologize. I do see now that it disappeared. It disappeared. Here was the aspects of 12A, the matters to be deleted, but I did speak to them specifically. I think it was more a concept. I didn't specifically list the items. I'll just keep an eye on this green line around my document. It seems it tends to disappear. So the next one is on section 12A, which is our fair use clause. And the argument from the public was that, all right, you're not bringing in fair use, but you're also making it a hybrid system. So it's not simply to say we've got fair use. And anything that you do that would that might be argued to infringe on someone's copyright, if you can say, no, but it was fair use, then it won't infringe. It's one thing to have those factors, and then any action can be tested against the factors. But what this bill is also doing is to give a list of exceptions. And it is not clear if that list of exceptions, which seem to be setting out what would be fair use, whether that is subject to the fair use principles, the four factors that we have in section 12A. So the proposal is to add a subsection, a paragraph rather, to section 12A that will make that clear. So again, it's not about wording at the moment, it's about the principle, but it will be something to the extent that either all the exceptions that we have, or we identify specific clauses, and I think it will be 12B, C, D, 19C, and 19B, that will indeed be made subject specifically, expressly, to the factors in 12A. So when we consider those exceptions, you will have specific things that relate to them, but any action under them will still be subject to the factors that will determine if something is fair use. So it just makes it more clear that it is, in fact, a fair use hybrid bill. It is not just putting the fair use out there and then we continue with a different system in the rest of the bill. Now, we don't have to ask House permission for this. 12A is something that is in the bill. The intention is for these exceptions to be fair use exceptions, but just specifically listed because we opted for a hybrid approach. But I would recommend that we advertise the wording of this because it is something that, although the concept might have been in our minds as that it is fair use exceptions, it is still something that is now expressly stated in the bill. So I would recommend that that be advertised for input from the public. The next one, then we move now to section 12B. The first one is again also just the type of wording used. So the public was saying, but fair practice is what we see most often in other countries, what we see in treaties, yet the bill uses the word extend justified by the purpose. Now, I've done some reading on this, and it seems that the academia is of the view it does have the same meaning. But again, listening to the public and saying, well, let's then, if it's the same meaning, would it be so objectionable to then make those changes? So that is the thing that we need to just decide on. And if the committee decides, yes, let's rather use fair practice, it is something that the public commented, it will be made to these specific sections that are listed here. And because we don't change the content of the bill, don't have to ask permission from the House, and we do not have to advertise this change of fair practice instead of using extend justified by the purpose. It is something that arose from public comments, and we can make that amendment. The next amendment relates to still section 12B. So this is specific exceptions that are listed. And talking about reproduction of a work by a broadcaster, and it's something called the ephemeral provision. And the proposal was that we need to look at the Canadian Copyright Act's wording in this regard. It's quite extensive, the Canadian Copyright Act wording, where currently we have a paragraph of about 4 or 5 lines. Will probably change to almost half a page, and it is to some extent different enough that I would definitely recommend we need to advertise. Don't have to ask House permission because it is currently in the bill. It's not extending the scope of the bill, it's just changing the wording of the bill. But I would recommend that we advertise it. This was the wording of the Canadian Act. So again, don't have to focus on wording right now, but this is the if members want to do that comparison between what the bill at the moment provides, which is really just paragraph of about 5 or 6 lines versus this whole page. I think it will be smaller a bit because the font is, of course, different. But it's still a lot more that we will put on and talking about the rights of broadcasters to reproduce. So like I say, look, we don't have to approach the House, but I would definitely recommend that we advertise whatever the wording is that we come up with in the end. The next one relates to translation, and the proposal was from the public that you can't just have these purposes of personal, educational, teaching, judicial proceedings, research, and professional advice, and you ignore the rights in the Constitution, especially those of language and culture. So the proposal was to add those purposes. Again, it is something that's already in the bill. We do not have to approach the House for this, and because it arises from the public, it's not something that we need to advertise. It is extending purposes, is not changing the policy or material in that way. The next one is in respect of lawfully acquired with personal copies. Now, this is where I said about the definition. I've already spoken about the definition. I think that there are things about the wording that the committee will have to deliberate on, consider possible consequences of what we have in the definition. But here, in 12B, when we look at the personal copies provision, simply adding the words were lawfully acquired doesn't really change the meaning of 12B. The definition can have a huge impact, and that is where the committee will have to deliberate on what that wording of the definition is going to be. But in 12B, it's already in the bill, we don't have to ask permission, and we do not have to advertise. In my view, it is already implied by the bill that you can only make a copy of something that you have lawfully acquired. But it can be said expressly, we need to just look at that definition. But here, no need to advertise, no need to ask for permission. Section 12C has two aspects. The one is a layout error. And as I've explained before, this bit that is underlined, as long as there's no independent economic significance to the Act, ended up into paragraph B instead of being under paragraph B. If it is in paragraph B, it doesn't apply to paragraph A. If it is under paragraph B, it applies to both A and B. And that is what it should be. It should be applying to both A and to B. So it is just a layout error that has to be corrected. Doesn't have to be advertised. Doesn't have to be seeking House permission for it. The second aspect to 12C is to add specifically, expressly, the wording of the three-step test. Now, the same is in respect of 12D, so I'll speak to the concept under 12D. And on both of these, although we don't have to ask House permission because 12C and 12D is already in the bill, we will have to advertise the wording that is being added. It might be something that has unintended consequences. It might be something that should be worded in a different way from what we proposed. It is something that is new, expressly adding it. Also, the whole bill was drafted with three-step in mind, and there is compliance with three-step, and this is how most laws internationally are drafted to, rather than setting out the specific three-step test in your law simply complies with it, so it becomes the basis for the wording and not the actual wording. And that is another reason why I would recommend that we advertise, so that because there's not really something that we have where we can say, oh, in this country this is the exact wording. And if we have those examples, there are one or two I think where it was used. We need to transplant that and see how it will work. So we don't have to ask House permission, but we definitely need to advertise whatever the wording is that we come up with that applies specifically the three-step test to that exception on those two matters, sir. Next is 19C. Now, in 19C, what we have is it seems to be a duplication and in respect of commercial purposes. So, subsection 1 of Section 19C already says you cannot do something for commercial purposes. So it is simply removing that. We have in the meantime discovered that there might also be an issue with this may not permit a user to make a copy or a recording of the work, because the current meaning of what we have in 4 is that you can make it for non-commercial purposes. But I think when we start looking at wording, then we will go into that a bit more. But it is clear that there is a need to look at subsection 4 of 19C. First off, to remove a duplication, and just to remove the duplication, that will not require advertisement. If we change the limitation and say that we have to take all of this away, we might have to think about advertising that for comment from the public. And the next is then the aspect of authorized entity. Now, I've already spoken to the definition around this. So adding the authorized entity itself, that doesn't have to be advertised. It's simply adding to the list of persons based on public input. The definition itself, we will have to advertise. That is something that the public hasn't had an opportunity to comment on yet. Then there's also a provision to say that when you look at 19D subsection 3, when we talk about importing and exporting of this accessible format copy, that we must make it very clear that the person who is importing or exporting cannot do so. You can't bring in accessible format copies and then make it available to people not with a disability, with able-bodied persons. So you, in other words, abusing the right that is created here. This right is for persons with a disability, and you can't be making the exceptions that are in 19D and are specifically based on a treaty, the Marrakesh Treaty. They can't be using those rights to try and get around other limitations. So it's the proposal is to make that very clear, that when you import or export, it is for use by a person with a disability. That is what 19D is about. And then also, I think there was also something about keeping, retaining the nature of the work, so that you can make an accessible format copy, but you can't tamper with it other than just converting it to an accessible format copy. So whatever is necessary for that, you can do, but you can't now go and make changes to it. So it's again just closing any loopholes that might have come up. So when we add the issue of making it clear that purpose of the import and the export, that is something that is new, and I would recommend that we advertise that wording for comment from the public. Sorry, my mouth is gone somewhere. The next proposal was in respect of Section 27. Now, this deals with penalties, with sanctions. And the concern was that when we look at the rights in 28O and 28R, dealing with technological protection measures, there is something in Section 27, subsection 5A, that is currently being inserted by the bill. But it is the comments were that it's not sufficient to cover 28O and 28R. So we need to just look at that. And then also the digital rights, communication to the public, and those are not covered in Section 27 penalties. So the argument was that you are putting out these limitations there, but there's no way of enforcing them. So that is something to look at. The bill is already amending Section 27, so we do not have to ask for health permission, but I would recommend that we publish for comments, because these penalties will be brand new. The public will not have seen any of those before. Then in respect of Section 28O and 28P, the first amendment is purely technical. So what has happened after the bills have been passed is that the Cyber Crimes Act was assented to. It's not yet operational, but once it's operational, then the sections that we refer to in our bills related to the Electronic Communications and Transaction Act will actually have been repealed. So our bills will be referring to sections that are no longer on the statute book. So it's a technical amendment. We don't have to advertise that. We don't have to ask for House permission. We can simply make those amendments. And then there's also a consequential amendment to the Performance Protection Act Amendment Bill, where we also refer, we're using the wording of 28O and 28B, and also just to remove it there. So this is just, this is simply your a technical amendment. I did make reference in Clause 27 to sanctions related to 28O and will be to 28R. That, of course, will have to be advertised, but I dealt with that before already. Then the last amendment on the Copyright Amendment Bill is also something that is simply a technical amendment. It's an incorrect cross-reference where the regulation clause 39CH refers to 28B, but it should actually be 28P. So that doesn't need to be advertised. We do not need to ask for House permission for that. In respect of the Performance Protection Amendment Bill, here it is specifically about removing transmissions by wire. We don't have to ask House permission for this. We don't have to advertise this definition. However, I think whatever comments we receive on the Copyright Amendment Bill in respect of the definition of broadcast will probably also apply to performance protection. So it is not something that I think we need to be concerned about, that we aren't publishing it, even though there are some concerns about whether to keep or not keep wire. We are going to call for comments from the public in respect of broadcast. Of course, is the committee decides to amend broadcast there. And the same then applies here. So that is in respect of broadcast on the performance protection, just to remove wire, nothing more than that. Section 3A, here there was a concern that the way it is currently written, now 3A deals with both audiovisual and dealing with sound recording, and the argument was, if you simply say it in one breath almost, you must set out royalties or equitable remuneration, whichever is applicable. It is a bit confusing, and keeping in mind that this is now something new that is brought in, we require a written agreement. We are required that there be some negotiations, formal negotiations. And to just say it like this is a bit confusing. And the reason is a bit confusing is when we look at the specific Rome Convention, WBPT, we see that sound recording, you only talk about equitable remuneration. You don't talk about royalty. So that is where people are saying, but this is now confusing. If I have a sound recording, why would you mention royalty? So the proposal was that you make it very clear that in respect of audiovisual works, you can either have royalties or an equitable remuneration. When it comes to sound recording, there will only be equitable remuneration. So your contract that you must explicitly say how things will work will be, and we will then make it clear, this is the proposal that you say in respect of audiovisual works, both can apply, or in respect of sound recordings, only the one will apply, and that is what you will contract about. And then the last amendment in performance protection is also just technical. It's just a missing word in the sentence that the minister may make regulations in respect of standard contractual terms that can be included in agreements to be entered, and it should be into in terms of the Act, not entered in terms of the Act. Chair and members, those are all the amendments. So I've now identified, and you can also see, so this last one also has no need to advertise this. It's technical. I think the previous one I didn't say, this issue of royalties are equitable. We don't need to ask our permission. We don't need to advertise this. So I've gone through all of these. I've identified the ones that if we make the changes, we need to advertise. Of course, depending on what wording is decided in the end, that might change. By just thinking about the concept and what is proposed by the public, that would be my advice currently in respect of advertising and approaching the House. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Let me go back to the members then. Thank you, Advocate, because I think maybe rephrasing will be actually to say what your guidance, advice, and contribution is actually at the point where I think unless parties have issues where there might be changes on what you suggest or propose. propose as way forward, then we can actually pick it up from there. So I think with the presentation that is given, one, I would like just to propose to the committee that this is more of a foundation of the work we should actually work from, because there is no legal processes which will actually then take us to a point of being able to take decisions which are binding in moving forward. But for now, all the comments and processes suggested by the advocate, I'm sure the committee can actually agree with what the advocate proposes as our way forward as the committee to be able to proceed in that order through her suggestions as well. Unless maybe there are different issues or issues for clarity to what the advocate has raised, then we can proceed. But at this point, unless there's someone who disagrees with the advocate, let's actually get those points raised. Honourable members. There are suggestions, proposal from the advocate. Are we comfortable, ready, and would like to accept that we proceed as the advocate proposes? Honourable members.
Chair, Mr. Thurman, Chair.
Honourable Hammond.
Yes, Chair, we agree that we must proceed as advised by the advocate.
Okay. Are there any further issues? If not, then can I come back to you then, advocate, to say in the presentation you have made for us, we're actually quite happy to take your advice and be able to proceed in that direction. There's a hand, Secretariat. I'm not sure who's raising a hand.
Mrs. Hammonds, Chair?
Oh, it was Honourable Hammonds. Yeah. No, she has actually then made a suggestion that we proceed on the base of what the advocate has just presented to the committee moving forward. If ever there is any agreement for us to proceed in that order, Honourable Hammond has suggested that we support the advocate and move on. Are there any seconders for us to proceed as suggested by Honourable Hammond? Honourable members, unless there are queries or issues for clarity. Come again?
Mr. Mbuyane raised his hand, Chair.
Honourable Mbuyane.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. I second the proposal made by Honourable Hammond. Thank you.
Okay. We support the advocate. That's the agreed, seconded suggestion. Are there any different issues? Because obviously, if there were no clarities, we should be able to pick up on that. Is there no objection for us to proceed on the basis of the work before us as presented by the advocate? So, is there any different suggestion?
There's no hands at the moment, Chair. So I would assume that there is no counter proposal, Chair.
Has been presented by the advocate, and then the committee will proceed on the basis of that foundation work. It's not decision making, but it's actually accepting the work and proceeding on the basis of what's recommended. Can we then actually agree with the presentation of the advocate, which is accepted by the committee? And then, Secretary, let's agree what then is the next step moving forward.
The next step moving forward is to consider the report, because if the committee in principle agreed that the House Commission need to be sought, we have to adopt the report, and if I may ask the report to be flagged so I can take members through that report for adoption, Chair, so that we can submit that report to the National Assembly. through the
Secretariat. Thank you.
Chair, it's an interim report about the Committee on the Copyright Amendment Bill. The Portfolio Committee having considered the Copyright Amendment Bill, the re-tag in the National Assembly as 76 Bill, as well as the President's observation on constitutionality thereof, reports as follows. Chair, then the next paragraph is basically just what the Bill seeks to amend, so I'm not going to take the Committee through that. And also the next deals with the reservation by the President, and the Committee is quite okay with that. And then I will just go to the next in the report dated the 14th, adopted by the National Assembly. The Committee adopted the report adopted for adoption by the National Assembly, outlined how it intended to correct any procedural defects by calling for further public comments referred to in 1, 2, and 3 above. On the 1st of June this year, the National Assembly adopted the Committee's report in which the Committee outlined how it intended to correct any procedural defects. It's captured in the minutes of the National Assembly dated the 1st of June. Consequently, the Committee re-advertised the relevant clauses and called for further submissions.
Okay, unmute. Secretariat.
We can hear you, Chair.
Okay, I'll maybe I'll speak louder. The Committee received 90 submissions for consideration. Based on the input received, the Committee intends going beyond amending the sections in the Act, as envisaged in the Copyright Amendment Bill 13B 2017. The additional provision to be considered that was discussed by the Committee this morning, and the advocate took the Committee through that, relates to new definitions to personal copies, to exceptions for persons with a disability, and to broadcasting, and making the new exclusive rights of communication to the public, making available and distribution applicable to published editions and computer programs. The National Assembly Rules 2844C provides that the Committee may, if it's considerable that the main provision of the legislation, seek the permission of the Assembly to inquire into amending other provisions of that legislation. That is what we're currently doing. Therefore, the recommendation is that the National Assembly ask the Commission in terms of the Assembly rules for it to amend other provisions of the Copyright Act, Act 98 of 1978. The report to be considered. That's the report that the Committee needs to consider and adopt, Chair, so that the matter regarding the seeking permission of the House is then concluded in the Committee, Chair. Mr. Hermans, raise your hand, Chair. Chairperson, Mr. Hermans, raise the hand.
Honorable Hermans, sorry for that.
Thank you, Chair. I move that the report be adopted as tabled.
Thank you very much. Can we get a second? Is anyone agreeing that we proceed in that order?
Yes, Chair.
Honorable Mwatse.
I second the adoption of the recommendation.
Thank you. Can we then see, is there any objection? If none, can we then proceed to the next process, Secretariat?
The next process, Chair, I would assume that if there's no objection to the adoption of the report, is for the Committee to in principle agree to the matters that needs to be advertised based on the input from Advocate Van der Merwe, and that if the Committee in principle agree to that these items need to be advertised, that Committee going forward would look at the actual wording for these matters that need to be advertised and consider that going forward, Chair, if I'm correct in terms of interpretation of the matter.
Okay. Advocate, I think it will be important then we get your comment in conclusion of this process. And I think in terms of the different kind of category of focus relating to advertisement, house permission, areas of loophole, I think maybe at this stage we can just go up back to you if process-wise the decision of the committee is in order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, so in the meantime now, while we wait for the House to provide permission, we can proceed in respect of the wording, because when we look at advertising, we need wording to be advertised. We can't just advertise a concept. team from Pen Industry, we have been meeting to discuss wording. I think we have some wording that we can present to the committee. There's a couple of things where we still have some sticking points, and that I wouldn't feel comfortable to present to the committee at this point in time, because I'll have to say, but I'm worried about this, or we need to, you know, there are too many things that are just not settled enough. If I may request, Chair, that we then are given time to meet amongst ourselves and come up with proposals for this committee, that I suppose from both our sides we feel comfortable, and if there are things that either of us feel uncomfortable with the wording, we can put it to the committee and say, look, this is still something that we feel uncomfortable with. But I wouldn't want that to be on a majority of things. I would want that to be on one or two things, if possible. And then, of course, the committee can look at the wording, we can change it, whatever. But if we could get permission from the committee, and we have a meeting next week, Wednesday, that we then present wording to the committee on Wednesday. And we can perhaps at this point in time, or I don't know, the committee can still make that decision. We will have wording on everything. But if the committee prefers, we can first focus on those matters that will have to be advertised, simply to get them agreed that we have something to advertise. And then once we have the advertisements going, we can look at the wording of those things where we don't have to advertise, although that shouldn't be contentious. We can look at everything at once, but they will be in the hands of the committee. But if we can please do that next week, Wednesday. Thank you.
So I think if everyone can agree that we do have issues to advertise, then agree now that we will then proceed on process of the committee to be able to provide time for those issues to be consolidated and arranged in a way that we are going to be able to properly submit to advertise, and let it be something that's specifically covered on our program as the committee. I don't know if that makes sense, Advocate.
Yes, I think so. So if we, because it is on the program for next week, Wednesday, and in fact, I think if I remember the program correctly, it is scheduled that next week, Wednesday, we will be presenting wording. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. So obviously then, okay, then let's make it part of our program to say we are agreeing now about the issues that we have just considered, and for next Wednesday, we will then be proceeding to pick up on the rest, on the other issues, to proceed with the program. Secretary, I'm not sure if ever you want to comment. I'm sure you have the advocate.
No, correct, Chair. That is the way that we were projecting it to happen, Chair. So next week, Wednesday, committee will be presented with wording for consideration that needs to be advertised, Chair. So, but Mrs. Hermans previously raised her hand, Chair. I don't know if she wants to still comment, Chair.
Okay. Honourable Hermans.
No, I was just going to agree that we will then get the wording report from the advocate next week.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think this concludes that part of the process for today's session in terms of our program as the committee secretariat. Program-wise, I'm sure closing on this part, we can then actually be able to see how we actually conclude today's session.
Chair, we conclude the business for the first item on the agenda, dealing with the matter seeking house permission and guidance on the advertised matters. The next item on the committee agenda is formal consideration of the PRRR report, Chair. We distributed a cleaner version earlier this morning, Chair, so we need to, the committee need to consider that report for adoption, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Chair. We will then conclude. Advocate, thanks for the guidance. I'm sure this ongoing program, as we earlier discussed and conclude now. Then let's take the next item on the agenda, honorable members. If we can actually then pick up staff would be taking us through Secretariat.
Chair, we have the report flighted, Chair. I took the committee through the report on Wednesday.
So you're talking about the report for today, Secretariat? Okay.
That's correct. The BRRR report, Chair, that members that we have members took the caucuses yesterday, Chair, for input. We included an introduction, Chair, that wasn't there on Wednesday. If I don't know, members, I mean to take them through the introduction. I can do that quickly. The financial period has been marked by the beginning of the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic, with the president having declared a hard lockdown as of 26 March 2020 to contain the spread of the disease. The economic impact of the pandemic and the necessitated government response required government to implement additional support measures for affected businesses, labor, and poorer households. The government adopted a three-phase approach in its response to the pandemic, of which the first phase was to mitigate against the immediate impact of the lockdown by providing financial relief to workers through wage support via the Unemployment Insurance Fund, tax relief, the release of disaster funding, emergency procurement and funding support for small businesses, thereby preserving the economy. Second phase was aimed at stabilizing the economy from the immediate effect of the pandemic, with announcement of a social and economic support package of $500 billion to mitigate against economic impact. The third phase was the development and implementation of an economic strategy aimed at faster growth for the long-term recovery of the economy post-COVID-19. This led to a special adjustment appropriation bill being tabled in June 2020. The bill sought to modify the 2021 budget to utilize the current baseline allocation to provide for the rapidly changing economic conditions and enabling spending on the COVID-19 response. Consequently, the annual performance plan had been revised and tabled thereafter. The DDIC's budget had been reduced from 11.8 billion in February 2020 to 9.31 billion in June 2020. It was further adjusted downward in October to 9.2 billion. In addition, a number of DDIC's key performance indicators had been revised and annual targets had been adjusted downwards to accommodate the new environment given lockdown restrictions. Notwithstanding this, the DTIC had achieved most of its targets in spite of a depressed global economic environment and had achieved a clean audit outcome. That was added, that was a part of the document. The other items we need to look at, just to go through the concluding remarks and recommendations again, Chair, before we move. We took the committee on Wednesday through the concluding remarks, and the bold bit is what was added. All members of parties expressed certain views on each of these clauses. The first one related to the measures implemented by government to mitigate the COVID-19 pandemic. Point 7.2 relates to support in respect of localization and beneficiation. Point 3 speaks to the transformation of the economy and BEE as a policy instrument of government. Point 4 welcomes the DGI support for the rural economy and industrial parks and special economic zones. Point 5, committee supports development institutions to refocus on the integration of the work on the district development model through the collaboration with provincial and local government. Point 7, the committee welcomed the progress made with implementation of the sugarcane value chain master plan. They further welcome publication of amendments to regulations covering the sugar industry to promote economic transformation. Point 7.8, the committee supports the collaboration with the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy on developing policies around biofuels, which will enable the industry to diversify and beneficiate sugarcane crops in the manner as part of a developing alternative value chain. Point 7.9, the committee acknowledged that unemployment remains a big challenge. However, they view the measures being introduced can address those challenges. 7.10, the committee recognized the impact of the unstable electricity supply and has failed to address the fiscal impact on economic growth and not able to address the unemployment challenges facing the country. Then 7.11 dealt with the African Continental Free Trade Agreement and the process regarding the rules of origin provisions that needs to be concluded. And then 7.12, the committee noted the qualified audit outcomes of the NRCS and implored the DTIC to assist with that regard. Chair, then there was one recommendation that was tabled for consideration, which informed that the House request that the Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition should consider reviewing the BBBEE Act with the intention of establishing a BBBEE tribunal with powers to rule on and sanction prohibited conduct under the legislation. That was the report that was distributed to members this morning and discussed on Wednesday, and members took that to their caucuses for input. So the matter is before the committee for its consideration and adoption, Chair.
Honourable members, the report before you, can I take your comments, questions, or resolution? Committees? Parties? Unless, if ever there's nothing,
hey,
Secretary,
Mr. Simmons,
coming up.
Mr. Simmons, Chair?
Yes, Honourable Hammonds.
Thank you, Chair. I think noting that the minutes of the meeting that preceded this one will reflect the position of other political parties on the conclusions. I wish to propose adoption of the BRRR report as tabled.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honourable Hammonds. Can I just check if there are any further comments on this report?
Mr. Mbuyani, Chair.
Honourable Mbuyani.
Chairperson, I second that the report be adopted. Thank you.
The report has been adopted. Unless there's any objection, can I check any objection? Can I then ask that we proceed to the next item, Secretary, or maybe firstly get the confirmation that the committee agrees on the report? There's no objection. Can
Chair,
we then proceed? Yes.
Chair, there is no hands raised for objection of the report. Ms. Yaku, Chair, raise the hand now, Chair.
Honourable Yaku.
Chair, I think as I would say opposition parties, I don't think we can say we agree or object right now. You do know that we have to do the final everything via our parties. I know we have done that before, but I think the EFF will reserve its comment for this one.
Yeah.
So, Ms. Chair, would it then, just to clarify with regards to Ms. Yaka, will it then say if we say that the EFF abstained from this process, Chair?
Yes, that would be fair, Andre.
Okay. So we actually come again?
Mr. Cuthbert, Chair.
Honourable Cuthbert.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Similar to what Ms. Yaku was saying, however, it is not an abstention, but rather us reserving our right until we actually discuss the matter in the House, and we will make our vote known there. The same goes for the DA, please.
Okay.
Chair, Mr. Mulder,
Honourable Mulder.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The Freedom Front Plus also reserves its right to take it further in the House. We agree with the DA and the EFF. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Are there any further comments from Portfolio Committee members?
Chair, there seems to be no further hands, Chair.
All right. So I think, Chair, as Secretariat, we can be able to actually agree record, we will actually then be able to reflect the party's position before going to Parliament. Obviously, I think there is no objection. It's just to note, as actually raised by party secretariat, how do you capture that succinctly?
Chair, we will note on the report that, that the parties reserve the right, Chair, to address the matter in the House.
Okay, good. All right, we will actually then say parties do not object, and then you actually add to that point. So is it best English when you have it like that?
Chair, what we will say that the Democratic Alliance, Economic Freedom Fighters, and the Freedom Front Plus reserve the right to debate the matter in the House, Chair.
Okay, good. So can we then pick up the next item? This one is agreed to, because the committee has actually received the report and accepted the report. And I think with what you have just explained, process-wise, that's the definition. Can we then move on, Secretary?
Okay, that would conclude the business of today, Chair. We have adopted two reports, Chair. The report on recommendation from the House to consider other matters outside the scope of the bill, and we adopted the committee report on the budgetary review, and the recommendation report was adopted by the committee. So that concludes our business for this morning. Our next meeting will, Chair, if I may proceed, will be then on Tuesday, where you will get the a briefing by the IDC on its annual report, Chair. And on Wednesday, we will continue with our deliberations on the remitted bills as relate to the matters that require to be advertised and the wording associated with that, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Secretary. I think that does cover the agenda as approved earlier. And I would actually want to thank the members for your participation and all those who are actually involved. Can I then ask, want to ask the committee to allow me to conclude the meeting of today, and then we are going to reconvene on Tuesday. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair, if I may just ask the Menko members
to
on the platform.
Thank you.